Here we go. 5, 6, 7, 8.
In a small performance studio at New York's 92nd Street Y, 16 20-something dancers ping-pong around the room. Alternately crashing into, lifting, or pushing each other away.
Okay, all right, now that was better.
It's chaos, but it's carefully choreographed by dancer Robin Becker.
I saw a lot of intense, and it doesn't read. What reads is...
The 7 members of the Manhattan-based Robin Becker dance troupe, along with 9 students from Hofstra University, where Robin teaches, are getting in a quick rehearsal and sound check before tonight's performance.
Can you maybe go a millisecond faster?
Yeah.
So that traffic jam's not there?
Yes.
Cool.
They mingle on the floor, trying to map out the scene. It's complicated, potentially dangerous.
Okay, instead of going over so far, just try that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It also describes, in dance, a student protest that happened before they were born, on October 17, 1967, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Here's how the campus police described it at the time.
A squad of 50 Madison policemen were called to the scene and were met by an angry, vicious mob of 300 or more protesters.
On the same day, there was a battle in Vietnam. Here's a news account of that event.
The 1st Infantry Division, in a costly, bitter battle with the Viet Cong, has reportedly smashed a guerrilla plan to overrun Saigon itself.
Troops on the ground were furious. It wasn't a victory, it was an ambush. And those student protesters, they were peaceful. Reporter David Marinus set the record straight in his 2003 book, They Marched Into Sunlight, writing that in 1967, the U.S. was 2 years into the war, 500,000 troops in Vietnam, 14,000 had already been killed. General Westmoreland wanted troops to pursue the Viet Cong deeper into the jungle. David tells what happens to soldiers from the fabled Black Lion Battalion when they did.
They were out in the jungle about 44 miles northwest of Saigon on what they then called a search and destroy mission. You would go out into the jungle and find the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese and fix them in position and destroy them. This battalion walked off into the sunlight, into the jungle, and unwittingly walked into a horrendous ambush. The Viet Cong were laying in wait for them. They knew they were there because the Americans were so heavy and moving around the jungle. They set up the ambush, more than 1,000 Viet Cong against about 140 American troops. Mm-hmm. And for a few hours, these American troops suffered the worst that man can suffer, 60 killed and 60 wounded out of that group.
Yeah. What was happening in Madison, Wisconsin at almost the same time?
One of the symbols of the war on college campuses was the Dow Chemical Company, the makers of napalm and of Agent Orange. And so Dow Chemical Company came to the University of Wisconsin to recruit. The anti-war movement knew they were coming, set up a protest, which they thought would be an act of civil disobedience by sitting down in the hallway of the Commerce Building where the recruiting would go on. And the Madison police stormed into the hallway and started clubbing students in what became the first violent confrontation between students and police in the anti-war movement.
Yeah. Well, David Marinus, in his review in 2003, the late, great David Halberstam says, your book is one of the finest war reporting ever. But he also wondered about pairing it with a college protest. Now, we should say years later, 4 students would be killed at Kent State, but...
David Halberstam was a mentor and hero of mine, and he tried to talk me out of writing the book because of that. I disagreed with him then, and I do now. I'm not trying to make a moral equivalency between the battle and the protest, but they were all young people making difficult choices, utterly different worlds that nonetheless revolve around the same thing.
So you have violence and anger in Madison, Wisconsin, and a mauling, slaughter in Vietnam. What did you think when Robin Becker first approached you and said, I'd like to choreograph that?
Well, I was thrilled because this book is about physicality and it's about young being betrayed by the old and the questions of what defines bravery and courage. And I was completely blown away by the way she translated it.
And really... thank you and honor your service. I'm very glad you're here.
Back at the 92nd Street Y, Robin Becker welcomes any veterans who might be in attendance, as does the audience. Then her dance, Into Sunlight, begins, and we're transported back in time.
The book begins with a group of soldiers on a ship sailing into the unknown from San Diego to Vietnam, landing at the port of Vung Tau, marching off the ship into the sunlight. And Robin has devised this wonderful choreography where her seven wonderful dancers are in this clump, sort of and moving across the stage in slow motion, with one of the dancers, Yoko, on top of them, walking on their backs as they go across the ocean. And it just evoked to me that whole sensation of sailing into the unknown. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, I wasn't sure that I would feel the book in the dance, and immediately I did. There's another part of the book called Hollander's Run about a major, Donald Hollander, who was an All-American football player, who was in a helicopter as the battle was underway. And he landed the helicopter, and just like he had been on the West Point football team, he just got off and ran toward the battle and was gunned down and killed. Chaz's redoing of that scene I thought was very powerful. All of them evoked something, whether it was Diane Sikorsky, this young woman from Milwaukee who has a dream that her brother Danny shows up and he's missing his stomach, and then the next day he's killed in this battle. And there's several points of the dance that evoke that. The chaos and uncertainty of the students in Madison as they're trying to protest also moved me. All of them did. You know, there's one wonderful scene in the dance where a man just sits there like he's a gravestone, and one of the women dancers, Yoko, sort of moves around him, evoking sorrow in a way that no words that I could write do.
She almost tries to make love to this immobile.
It is very erotic and sad and powerful at the same time.
She ends up taking his lifeless arm and putting it around her. Into Sunlight, the Robin Becker Dance Troupe's interpretation of David Marinus's book about a battle and a protest in 1967. By the way, that book also the subject of the documentary 2 Days in October. When we come back, what did the vets in the audience think, here and now? Welcome back. This past summer at New York's 92nd Street Y, the Robin Becker Dance Troupe rehearsed the final scenes of Robin's adaptation of author David Marinus's book, Into the Sunlight. It tells of two events on one day in 1967, an anti-war protest at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and an ambush in Vietnam in which 60 soldiers were killed. But as her dance concludes, Robin has them rise and walk, some carrying the dead, into the sunlight.
Those of you who are up, just keep seeing if you can feel a little light on your face, like just there you go, you let it hit you.
But before that powerful ending, the dancers lay on the ground in carnage.
There is a section of the dance we call the Wall of Carnage. I wanted to show just the horror of it, but I didn't want to do something corny like do fake fighting. So we started to do just this really slow motion, distorted movement that you really have to look at the terrible positions for a while.
You see a hand push a face for a full 30 seconds, and then the head is completely turned and contorted.
Mm-hmm. David Marinus, when he saw it, calls it the Guernica scene.
As in the Spanish painting.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, a beautiful frozen tableau that to me sort of evoked that same sense of the way that war bends lives into these cruel angles, as a poet put it.
Mm-hmm.
You seem very moved.
I'm very moved.
Why? What, I mean, it's both obvious and what is it?
You know, the tragedy and the dignity, both. I think I got chills in places I've never, like, I got chills through my entire being. I'm so
tired. What have you seen from today's military as they come to the performance?
One man did say that he came to the performance determined to not like it. And in fact,
Why did he say that?
He didn't want to find one beautiful thing about war. And he said, and instead, I'm sitting in my seat and I've been given the gift of a great catharsis.
What is your full name?
Joe Clemente.
Clemente, Ralph DeMatthews.
Yeah,
I joined the Irvington Center and went down to that.
Joe Clemente and Ralph DeMatthews are two Vietnam combat veterans who were in the audience. Joe's niece is one of the dancers. She dedicates her performance in part to him.
Right under Lisa Clemente.
Oh, okay.
Right down here on the bottom. Lisa dedicates this performance to veterans Corporal Joseph Clemente Jr., 1st Marine Air Wing, Marble Mountain, Vietnam.
The dance has unleashed a flood of memories for both men.
It brought me to tears at some point. The images and the movement, it was beautiful. The leaving, when the first movement they made going across the ocean, and it brought me back to leaving from Seattle and getting on the plane. And just one image that came in my head. The Marines got on board in uniform, ready to get off and fight. And I remember this one image that stays in my mind all my life, is this beautiful blonde woman just hanging on to this man in uniform, not wanting to let go. And I always kind of wondered if he got through it or what. And then that whole 12 hours it took us to get there was kind of like very quiet in the plane, very quiet. Yeah. And then landing in a firefight. And I remember that woman opening the door, and it was like a punch, the humidity. And it was like I backed up. I said, I don't want to do this, but I had no choice. And there was a firefight going on at the same time.
Is that okay to have a dance provoke those feelings?
I think that's fine. It's mean they did their art correctly.
Of all the dances that I've watched my niece do, this is the one that I've understood the most.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't even read the book. Yeah, it's on my list. I live in Hoboken, and it's in the library, and that's the next book I'm going to read.
You're going to read the book?
Because I didn't even notice two events happened. I was 17, a child.
Yeah, I was 18.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you, that there was this violent event on a college campus on the same day there was this ambush? Not that they're comparable, but... What does that mean?
I didn't know what was going on, but now thinking back, I commend those people for doing that.
For protesting.
Yes, I didn't know. I mean, I had no idea.
We hated the protesters in America. I didn't have nothing to say about tonight's dance. I had a lot to say when I was younger about when I came home and treated like an animal. And that never leaves.
What did you feel watching the dance?
I actually felt like I was there. I was watching a woman cry. On a couple of rows ahead of me, I actually was crying myself. The choppers?
No. Yeah.
The choppers definitely were in the background.
Oh, yeah.
They were always there.
You don't forget that noise. The largest helicopter blades, 67 feet or whatever, that walk, 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 walk. And you knew these men were going out to perchance not come back. And when in the middle of the night and they came back, or, you know, it was the rescue guys, the dust-offs, they called them, that take the dead and the wounded away.
And the people dying on the floor and carrying them off.
Yeah.
That was very touching.
Yeah.
Very touching.
Yeah.
I almost left the 92nd Street Y without talking to the young Robin Becker dancers. After all, what could they know about Vietnam? Silly me.
Okay. Well, here's Lisa. How old are you?
I'm going to be 29, actually, next month. So
this is ancient history in many ways.
Yes. We read the book, and then having my uncle, who's a Vietnam vet. And
what did you get? Joe's standing right here. What did you get from Joe?
Well,
actually, any question she asked me, I would answer it just about.
I was asking him if he had any photos, so he had some photos. And it was amazing to see him, like, basically much younger than my age then, but it was... His youth,
they were all so young. The students were young.
Everybody was 18 at that time.
And but the youth behind their faces and their smiles and them, you know, playing around. I watched a video that he had on while he was in Vietnam, and his buddies and them are, you know, just having a good time. And this rapport, which you actually see in the movement, the men's trio, you see that they're, you know, these guys are just, they're boys.
The men's trio where they're sort of like, shadow boxing each other, and they're like puppies and they're rolling around on the ground, and then they're carrying each other off because they all don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody does.
And then there was dancer Paul Monahan. He danced in the men's trio.
Well, actually, my father was in Vietnam.
How did that form what you did out there?
Well, in many ways, I got to tell his story, and my father wasn't somebody who really ever discussed it.
And what is his story? I mean, what part do you think you conveyed?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of a mystery. It's kind of like what's not said, not talked about, what's not said. But at the same time, it becomes a part of your heritage in a way. I mean, to this day, he won't even get on a helicopter.
Has he come to see this?
No, he hasn't.
Do you think it would be too much?
Possibly, for sure, yeah. But, like, that's the thing. By doing this, I get to honor him as well as other soldiers.
I'm wondering, too, if this helped you find the narrative that he can't tell you. Because this role is also enabling you to have the conversation with other vets that you can't have, you're the dad.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about it that way, but yeah, absolutely. Actually, a number of vets just came up to me tonight and thanked me. And it's like, what, you're thanking me? It's so humbling, really. I can only say thank you.
This music is from Brotherhood, that moment in the dance when Paul and two other dancers depict soldiers frolicking just before falling. By the way, the score for Robin Becker's Into Sunlight is by Chris Lastavica, music direction by Arthur Solari. It will be performed this weekend at Georgetown University with a question and answer with David Moranis. For more, go to hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Join us again here and now.